Are we live? Are we live? Man, you already know what it is, man. It's your boy, Mr. Williams. I Talk Gray. We back again. I'm here with a guest, special guest. You know what I'm saying? Man, you just told me your name. I don't want to fuck it up. Baron?
Baron, like the red.
Baron man. McQueen.
That's it.
So you got that European last name. That's money.
That's. I'll tell you a story about that, though. Like, I got married in Ireland.
What? See, so, yo. Okay, no, go ahead.
So when I got there, for all these years, everybody's like, yo, the last name McQueen is Irish. So I'm like, oh, cool. Mm. So when I went to Ireland, they like, nah, that's Scottish. That's not Irish. So I'm like, damn.
That's why I say European.
Yeah. They got me out here thinking I got some Irish in me, and then I meet with the Irish, and they like, nah.
They're like, sorry, sir.
Nah,
brother. You're not one of us.
Scottish.
So. Hold on, so you got married in Ireland?
I got married in Ireland, bro.
What made you do that?
That's my wife, man. I just...
She European?
No, she Puerto Rican, man. Like, so I...
Espanol?
She just had this, like, oh, you know, I just had this dream that I want to be in, like, in front of a castle and like, oh. So
you balled out on your wedding, huh?
Nah, bro. Let me, like, we got married at the Broward County Courthouse. Because I'm like, listen... If we can get off of this big wedding and paying for all these people to eat and drink on my dime.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you, you got your own property. Like, do y'all got real estate?
Yeah, so I was just like, I'm like, look, if we could get off that big wedding thing,
we can
get married anywhere in the world you want. And she was like, all right, so we'll just do the courthouse thing, do the dinner with the family and all of that.
Okay.
And then we fly out to Ireland and we had another ceremony out there. And I saved like 30 grand, bro.
Yo, I don't know why people do that shit, yo. Like, how you going into debt just to entertain a bunch of hungry ass people? Like,
hell no.
I don't get that.
Hell no.
Like, you don't even own a casa.
That's it. And I'm like, yo, I know my wife want to put a pool in and do all of this stuff. And I'm like.
Are you still married, though?
I am. Two years. 2 years. We just.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It took a while to find her, though. Well, let me rephrase that. It didn't take a while to find her.
It took a while.
It took me getting a lot out my system to be ready.
You had to get the hoe out.
Oh, man. My God. I was a
rapper. Is the hoe still out, though? Sorry, I didn't put you on blast.
I was a rapper, so it was just like, my wife now, it was my Florida chick.
Oh,
so I had
okay.
one in Georgia. I had one
you had
in
one different
Texas.
Area. Cool. You had, I got rose.
And she just rocked out and stayed down. And I like.
So she was the one that stayed through all the BS.
She was the one that put up with all of that, man. So
that's
I'm
what's
like
up,
forever
yo. Yeah, so you had to wipe her.
Yeah. So yeah, I was like, yo, if I ever move to Florida, man, I would make you my girl officially.
He said, yo, if I ever move to Florida.
Yeah, and I moved here in 2013.
Where you from, though, originally?
Delaware.
Okay, up north. All right.
And then as soon as I got here, she's like, so you going to ask me? I'm like, God,
put the pressure on you already.
I just got here, like we just landed.
Touched.
But so I've been with her. It's been 8 years, man.
Okay,
so.
But you said you used to be a rapper, like
I did.
Were you spitting bars? You was on some kiss shit.
I was nice.
You
I was
nice
when
with
you,
it.
I was when
you got
you,
one off the top real quick.
Come on, don't put me on the spot. I'm still good though.
Okay.
Like, I'll
you,
give
you still right
on,
bars.
I'll give you something on the spot too, though. But like. I'm from that era, to like
when it
was competition. So
yeah,
I think
yes.
When they see that stuff that Jada kissed, that's what I grew up on.
Did like, you see the verses though? Oh,
it was embarrassing for Dipset.
And I'm a Dipset fan though, bro.
Really?
Yeah, and I just think they wasn't prepared. Like I don't know if they was letting the flashiness, cause you know they with the flash, they did a little
it's Harlem,
flashy
right?
shit. It might, yeah,
it's hard.
I don't know if they let that get to their head.
It's almost like it reminded me of like. A team that play together all the time is the Locks, and then like just a bunch of people that got together, never practiced, and didn't have no chemistry.
Yeah,
was Dipset to me, and
facts,
I'm just
facts.
Like,
Cam didn't even want to come out. I heard
he didn't even look like he wanted to be there.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, I could see why Dipset had problems before. I feel like he was the common denominator.
If you ever
saw when he went out to do his part, everybody was participating.
Yeah.
When other people was doing their songs, he was just like
he was sitting on this nigga had a chair, like a beach chair. Like, hey, what the, like, where you think you at?
I could see why they had.
Yeah,
it's a difference.
Kiss was there to dominate.
Yeah,
that man, yo,
he's special, man.
Well, I ain't even gonna front. I'm like, because I grew up on that era too, with the Biggies and the Nas and the Lox. You know what I'm saying?
It had to mean something.
Facts. Now you could just drop anything. You know what I'm saying? Scuba, 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 dooba, hooba.
It's bad. It's real bad. Like,
so what kind of rapper were you, though?
So I was like a... I was never like a... Like a conscious, like I was probably a little, I was like a good mix between, I probably had way too much jewelry on,
mm-hmm.
and then, but I still could rap.
Okay. Though.
Like, so I wasn't conscious. Like
so
a
you
conscious,
was rhyming, you was, you,
yeah,
you had
I was,
bars.
I, like I had bars, like okay. I wasn't going to do no BS when I was rapping.
Okay.
Because I just came from that era when you was,
yeah.
it was competitive. So
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
didn't want to have the whack verse on a song. You didn't want to come into a room with a bunch of other cats that can rap and you're
facts,
trash.
Facts.
So I think when these new artists approach me to like produce records and do stuff like.
So you producing now?
I still produce for people.
Making beats. Okay.
So I still write for other people. I just don't be the artist no more. So I'm still involved in the music business.
Yeah.
I'm just not the face of like trying to be an artist. I'm over that.
So what made you go into the writing aspect of it?
I just was always doing it. So I had a passion for the music, but I just didn't want to be the face. It was too much pressure to be the artist, right? Mm-hmm. So I got my first deal when I was 18 with Epic Records.
Okay.
And then when the A&R who found me got fired, you just become a number at the label. But at the time,
yeah.
Epic wasn't like what Epic is now. Epic mm-hmm. wasn't a hip-hop label like it is now. It was just like pop, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like you had like the Sean Kingstons, the Cat DeLunas, those type artists when I was signed to Epic. So yeah. the only rappers were probably me and Young Berg, I think, were the only rappers on Epic at the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's back when Charlie Walk was there. So I think they just didn't. I mean, Berg, he at least got some hits out of it while he was there. But I
he changed his name now. He making beats or some shit?
He's songwriting and producing.
Okay. That's where the bread is at, though.
So he like, I probably all the top 50 records, he probably did them. Now, that's on the charts now. So he probably got the best.
Because he wasn't really strong
he
as
got
an
the
artist.
Best rebrand probably of all time.
Yeah.
Between him and 2 Chainz got the best rebrand.
Yeah.
Name
changes. 2 Chainz is
of
not really
time.
That bad, but yeah, you know.
Name changes, Hitmaker, and 2 Chainz is up at the top.
Yeah. So why do you think it's so tough for people to start business wise? Like, if they have an idea to actually get it out there, why do you think it's so tough for people?
In business general or music?
Business.
I think it's like, I don't want to say people is lazy, but I think it's just, it sound good to share your business with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to put some action behind it, right? So everybody be having good ideas like, oh, I want to start a food truck and I want to do this. And
mm-hmm.
it sound good, but they don't put no work into it.
Yeah.
And then when they do start to put the work and see that it's a lot more work than they thought. Then they just give up. Like, that's my mom. Like, my mom always like, son, I'm watching your YouTube videos and you really inspiring out here. And I'm like, oh, so what you do from it? She like,
nothing.
Well, you know, I've been finding old furniture at Goodwill and repurposing it. And I was thinking about doing my own little furniture exclusive piece. I'm like, oh, man, run with it. If you like it and you have fun, see if you can make a couple dollars. Check in with her in a month later. Yo, how your furniture business doing? I ain't doing that no more. I'm starting baking cakes now. And I'm just like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, you are 100% right about that, man. It's people struggle with actually getting it started because they're so busy looking at perfection and not realizing like, yo, you're gonna make mistakes. You see what I'm saying?
I was guilty of it, man. Like I was scared to get help from people. Because I just want to, I don't want to say I was like micromanaging, but I just felt like if I wasn't involved 100%, it wasn't going to be done how I wanted it, right?
Yeah, so I
had a struggle with bringing people in and asking for help. And
really?
Yeah, I struggled with that terribly until I found about virtual assistants. Oh,
yeah.
The best thing I've ever done.
Yo, I'm now looking into that because.
They all in the Philippines, bro.
Yo.
$5 an hour.
I use Fiverr
okay.
a lot. You know what I'm saying?
I built a whole business off Fiverr, bro. when I started my marketing company, all we used to do was like logos for like businesses. Like,
yeah.
So we would sell a logo for $200 and I pay someone on Fiverr like $10 and everything else was profit.
Damn.
So I was like the middle. I built that whole business being the middleman for like Fiverr.
Yo, that's you just gave me an idea.
So then people, when we started with the logo, and then people was like, ah, now we need a website. I didn't know how to fucking make no websites. Fiverr.com. Okay, they charge $100 to $200 for like 5 pages. I could do your website for $500 to $600, depending on how detailed you want to get.
Yo, bro, that's a flip.
I built the whole company, bro, off Fiverr's back. I promise you.
Holy shit.
No matter what it was. So then, like.
So what made you get into the virtual assistants, though?
Watching somebody on YouTube said you can get somebody in the Philippines to do. Like, I just. Like, for me, I hated not doing, like, I wanted to focus on doing tasks in my business that was dollar productive.
Yes.
I didn't want to do email and go through social media all day and like, just the tedious stuff that ain't making me no money. I just wanted to sell and close and focus on that. So I was like, yo, I'm going to get a virtual assistant. I'm going to see how they do. So they was just like, the quality of the work that I was getting from just like, I want to build an email list for myself of 1 million people.
Yes.
Because I don't like that if Instagram shuts down tomorrow or Facebook shuts down tomorrow, I don't have no data.
Correct.
And
correct.
I don't have no contact. So I'm like, yo, I want to build this email list. I think my email list is like 10 grand right now.
Damn.
But I can't even find a platform to blast out 10,000 emails right now without having to probably pay $600 a month for a host.
Okay. So what about MailChimp?
Oh, the more once you go over 2,000-3,000 emails, they tax.
Right.
They like, oh, we want 1,000 a month if you're doing more than 5,000 or 10,000.
Damn.
So that's something I gotta think.
I just started researching about email marketing because I'm like, yo, as soon as I put my information on something, like I just saw this podcast the other day, Social Proof.
Oh,
and he
people pay for the data, man.
Yeah, I'm like. I'm getting an email. I'm getting texted. I'm like, man, like
this it's all is automated now.
Yeah,
you can send a text, email, good morning to every person. Like all automated.
Keep them in the loop.
So I'm just like, anytime I gotta release something, I don't want to have to go to social media. I want I want to know the people that really like. I get people that unsubscribe all the time from my list because I'm like, oh, cool, but hit them again. So I used to be really. because I used to be like. I don't want to post too much because I started losing followers. And I'm like, man, now I'm posting 3 times a day. I don't care.
Yeah.
I want my face everywhere.
I be trying to tell people, yo, the virtual thing, I'm seeing the importance of it because it's so hard to build a team. Nobody don't want to work.
Never.
They just want to be in front of the camera.
I got a guy just DM me today. He said, I'm 15 years old. I want to be a marketer. Help.
Yo, these kids... Yo, I don't understand. So they don't want to do nothing.
So I said, all right, let me give you your first tip for free right here. Mm-hmm. Before you ask me for something, please follow me on Instagram. Tip number one.
Subscribe. You ain't even did nothing.
Because I'm like, had you actually been following me or subscribed on YouTube,
you would have got some
game on there all day.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Like, I want to help, especially the people that look like me.
So let me ask you a question. Why is doing things for free so important when you first start out?
Why is doing stuff for free? We live in an era where everybody is so fucking money hungry that they don't understand them. I'm not saying like not knowing your value, right? Like, of course, know your value. But when you just starting out, when I first came to Florida and I was transitioning out of the music business, I wanted to create a media company, right? Because when I was an artist and I used to come here, all I used to do was either go to 99 Jams, go to King of Diamonds, go to Live, and I'm on a plane back to wherever I came from. Like, it was no platform for the artist to, like, yo, when I know I go to South Florida, I need to stop and tap in with this blog or tap in. So I created a website called HipHopDose.com. When I first started Hip Hop Dose.
Explain Hip Hop Dose.
So Hip Hop Dose was like, when I transitioned out of music, I wanted to find an artist and put everything that I had went through in the music industry into them. So essentially, give them everything but the money. Like, I could give them studio time. I could get them music videos, photography, but the just money. The resources. Right?
Yeah. So which is sometimes more important than having the money.
Right. So I'm like, yo, I wanted to have a platform to showcase them on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, if I just build a little media platform, like a Pop DX or a World Star, I could just put them on that. Always put them on that. So that's how I created Hip Hop Dose, and it just grew so fast to where we were just getting media invites for everything. But we had like a New York chapter, we had a LA chapter, we had an Atlanta chapter, and I'm just like, cool,
dope.
Fell back and just Let That Thing Do What It's Do. I think we got like 48 writers on Hip Hop Dose.
Damn, for blogging?
For blogging. Just.
How important is blogging when you have a business, though?
If you have a business, I always recommend whoever has a business to put a blog section on your website, because it's going to help you with ranking on Google, whatever you do. So, like, I literally just put a blog out today of just how to create blog content, right?
Shit. I got to go follow that.
Yeah, because it's just like, it's certain keywords that Google looking for when people search, right?
Yeah.
So if you include those keywords in your blog always go to the top of the list.
Yeah. But who's doing your blog, Viber?
Nah, I do my own.
Okay.
The reason I do my own is because people that follow me, I ain't the most grammatically correct when I write. Nah.
You got Grammarly on your shit?
I don't use none of that. But I think I think that's why people like my blog, because it's just if you was having a conversation.
Okay, it's just real.
So it ain't about like, oh, you could tell this motherfucker didn't go to Harvard or nothing. You know what I mean? It's just like he just real, and he how he would talk to you
yeah,
in person.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you delivering it.
It's easier to read for people who
niggas don't like to read.
Yeah, like so. It's like, yo, I always give them some pictures in the blog, because everybody don't like a bunch of words.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Let's break it up with some pictures, and it's just those. But I know how Google works.
Okay.
So that's why I say whatever your business are, if you're a plumber, you're an electrician, put a blog incorporated in your site, and then just give value. Like if you got a window company. Here in South Florida, I know the Hurricane Window Company is one of my clients. I'm like, yo, we do his blog. So it's like comparing hurricane impact windows versus shutters, or, you know, why are hurricane windows so expensive? Or like all these different questions.
There's different.
It's the stuff that people want to know, right? Yeah. So whatever the business is, I tell people, like, it's going to be easy to come up with the content. Go to a website called answerthepublic.com.
Yo, let me write it down. Yo, write that down. You know,
so it's a website.
This man dropping keys, y'all. Yo, so get y'all pens out.
Answerthepublic.com is literally, no matter what you put in the subject, it's going to give you the most questions that people ask about a specific subject. So then you just create your content around answering those questions that people want to know.
Yeah.
Because then your stuff's always going to pop up top, because this is a really searched topic or whatever the case may be.
It's yo, free. This man is the Diddy of Lauderdale.
Yo. AnswerThePublic.com. Seriously, man.
So yo, I'm but like, I see you built a six-figure business during the pandemic. Yeah. You got bread, yo. About $5.
So, I got you. Yeah. So, and this is, that it happened on accident. So, like.
This man said it happened on accident.
It did. So, like, my main company is the Brand Castle. That's just straight digital marketing, social media management, whatever you got to do for your business, that's what we do. So, when the pandemic hit, I literally lost every client, because all my clients were small business owners. So, they like, look, Baron, like, we don't even know if we're going to keep the doors open during the pandemic. We definitely can't pay you marketing every month.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, God, what am I going to do? Like, I left my job to start this company.
Damn.
Right? And so I was just like, I was shooting real estate photography for some friends of mine that were realtors. And they like, yo, you take really good pictures. Like, can I give your number to a realtor friend of mine? I'm like, sure.
So you're a photographer too?
So I started a real estate photography company during the pandemic. And that thing blew up during pandemic, because a lot of the other real estate photography companies weren't shooting.
Yeah.
They wasn't going into people's houses. They didn't want to shoot. And then a lot of those companies.
They was worried about COVID?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then a lot of those companies only focus on their county. So if you shoot in Palm Beach County, they don't come to Broward.
Okay.
Or if you in Miami-Dade, they don't go to Broward and Palm Beach. So when I was like, yo, like, we going to go everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm in Martin County. I'm in down in Pinecrest. Like, we covering all of South Florida for real. And then it just blew up during, like, the housing market is crazy right now.
Yo, you can't get it out
of here. We shot four houses today before I came here.
Yo.
And the only reason we couldn't do five is because it was raining in Boca.
So you're doing the pictures yourself?
I had two editors. I mean, I had two other photographers that was working with me when I first started, because I just wanted to sell. Like, okay. I'm like, I don't want to be out here taking the pictures. I want to get the money in.
Yeah.
And then y'all go take the pictures.
Okay.
Well, both of my photographers quit on me because they made more getting unemployment during the pandemic.
Yo, I heard that.
So he's like, yo, Baron, I don't mean to be rude, but I can make $600 a week sitting home.
Yeah. No, yeah. A lot of people was doing
so
that.
I'm like, well, that's nice for you. I got a fucking company I'm trying to run here. Yeah, so I just started going out to shoot, and I loved it. It was just like, it's not hard work. I go into somebody's house for 30 to 40 minutes. I make $400 and I leave.
Hold on. So they're paying you $400 for a shoot?
A shoot. We do four a day.
And you just taking pictures of the house?
I just take pictures of the house. Kitchen, bathroom, master bath.
What the?
Backyard, front yard.
Yo, you got an application?
And then I send it over to. So now, like, once I started really understanding how that business works, it's a 24-hour turnaround business, right? So if I shoot it on Monday, you get the pictures Tuesday. So in that industry, I could only shoot one house a day if I had to shoot it, go home, edit it, and have it by the next day. I'm like, I fucking can't scale like this. So I found my first editors. I found them on Fiverr. Now, it took me about six editors to find people who would edit how I edit.
Okay.
And then, so now, I mean, I don't use nobody from Fiverr now. Now I got a team that edits my photos. But, yo, I go shoot it. We shoot four a day. I send it to them. And I just go on to the next house.
So how would someone get in that business, though?
This is why that business is hard, right? If you're dealing with realtors who've been in the real estate market for a long time, they've been using the same photographer for like 20 years.
Mm.
He probably come to Thanksgiving and everything. Like,
okay.
But I got a real estate license that I don't even use. Like, I only use it for friends and family. Somebody that I know was like, yo, I want to buy a house. I'm like, I'll do it for you.
Okay.
To save them money. And it's just like, it was a personal goal to have it. But
so
when
you still
I
got access to the MLS and all that.
Right.
Okay.
So it's like, I don't use that. I probably sell maybe two houses, three houses a year. I don't use that license because the women down here are killing it. You got a nice body and some big breasts. I can't compete with that because the women deal with the women because they on women empowerment. And the dudes dealing with the women because of what they look like, right?
Yeah.
I can't compete with that. And I'm like,
yeah.
But when I got my license, they send you an email. They was like, welcome, Baron. You are one of 88,000 realtors in South Florida.
Yeah, it's tough down here.
And I'm like, no. But then I looked at that as like, well, that's 88,000 people that I can sell a service to.
Facts.
With the real estate photography. So
facts.
Like, we'll go the other way with that. We're going to do photography and video. So I'm really, when I'm dealing with these people, I'm trying to break up relationships with their photographer, right? That's what we're doing. We breaking up. So I was like, well, if I can't break up the relationship, I need to find a core group of people that I can market to. So we started focusing on newer agents who didn't have vendors yet or you know, their own stuff established yet. And most of the newer agents are always on Instagram.
Okay.
They're brand new agents. They just came out of Gold Coast or something.
Yeah.
We targeted them.
Yeah. And they're ready to rock.
They're ready to rock. They don't have a photographer yet.
Okay.
They don't have a videographer yet. They don't have marketing yet for their business. And we targeted dumb people.
That man eating,
1 year, man. We just hit 1 year and I'm like,
congratulations, man.
Man, tough. But that was the pivot that I had to do during the pandemic. So
had I not
pivoted to that, I'd be like, yo, how many stimulus checks is coming this year? Because I want to know what to do.
I think they might drop another one. I don't know. With Biden, you know what I'm saying? Like, they putting some bread into some, I just saw they putting bread into infrastructure.
Like, certain trillion. All that mean is black people ain't getting none.
Yeah. Like, but I'm like, yo, now y'all want to do that? Like, Clint, you know what I'm saying? They have water over there. You know
I ain't
what
get approved for none of them programs. Not the small business program. Not the PPP. None of that.
Now y'all want to fix the water? Freaking supplies, you know what I'm saying? No. Sorry, Flint. I was talking about Clint. Flint,
oh,
Michigan.
Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, like when they was dealing with it, they was dealing with that shit for some years.
That's crazy.
You
my
know,
wife, she's got family that's still in Puerto Rico, and when that hurricane hit, it been almost 2 years since they had got power, bro.
Wow. And Puerto Rico's part of the United States now, so you would think, you know what I'm saying?
I'm just like, they got the phone calls and her aunts and them was like calling on FaceTime. We got power. What are they running? Because they was going down to the river. Like, they was treating Puerto Rico like it was really third world, bro. Going to the river to wash your clothes.
That's crazy.
So if you wasn't in, like, old San Juan, which is the city that make all the money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the first people that got power. But if you was in any of the other states.
In the outskirts.
Nah.
But, you know, I mean, it's unfortunate that they had to go through that.
Yeah.
But I was watching The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of good to kind of learn some skills without having to rely on all this technological shit that they providing us. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's my wife how to start loves fire. She's like, Walking Dead is coming back.
Yeah, yeah. They just dropped new episodes, but I finished that shit already. I'm like, really? I'm like, man, when they gonna drop
so
again?
It's back already then.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They just dropped a couple, I think probably like seven.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But I was binge watching that shit because it was just so good. Really? I'm like, yo. I don't really like watching shit like that.
I don't like zombies. She got me into it, though. My wife is all zombies, anything that's natural disasters or some kind of plague. Like, she loves that kind of stuff. And then she's like, all you watch is drugs. Cocaine stuff.
So you watch Narcos then?
Oh, I love that comedy.
Yo, that shit was good.
The reason I be trying to tell her, I don't watch it for the drugs and the killing and the stuff. Mm. I be watching it for how these people build structural businesses.
Facts.
I be looking at the infrastructure, right?
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
Like, man, how Which do is they important. Get? I mean, they treat them like they real corporations.
No,
like, it's really pyramids and levels. Like, I just watched the Cocaine Cowboys thing on Netflix. I never knew that all of that stuff that was going on in Miami.
So yeah, Miami was big on that,
like,
yo.
Wow, like
cocaine.
Yeah, so I just finished watching that, the Cocaine Cowboys story. But. That's why I be watching those.
Yeah.
It's not about the killing and injuries.
Yeah. Same shit for me. I don't watch. I don't give a damn about those zombies. But I like the natural process of how they do survive. Things and survive.
Right.
And going to the gun range. You know what I'm saying? And
that's the stuff they should teach in school.
Yeah,
survival
definitely.
Stuff.
I see you went to college.
Oh my gosh!
But you dropped out.
You damn right, I dropped out. You know, so I went to University of Delaware for civil engineering. College is not for me.
Why you drop? Would you? Okay, let me ask you a question, right? Would you suggest going to college undecided?
I'm not an advocate for college at all.
Why?
If you're not going for, like, something that I think is necessary for you to have college, like, you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, engineer, these type professions, by all means, get as much education as possible. If you go on to study frog legs or, you know what I mean, you try and do animation and, man, all this stuff is available online for free.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just like, so like I had this conversation. My mom hates it because she's like, you keep telling your daughter, your sister not to go to college. Like, she needs to go. And I'm like, for what? Why? Do you know what she want to do? And she's like, so I'm not a college advocate.
If well, why it's not did you drop necessary. Out?
I dropped out because I went for civil engineering, right? So I went to a vocational high school where you had to learn a trade.
Yeah, they was doing that back in the day.
So like then my trade was technical drafting. So by the time I was in 10th grade, I was already working. So I was going to school half of the day and then going to work the other half of the day. So by the time I graduated, I already had the job that I needed.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, what am I going to school for? Because I'm noticing the job that I work at, they not hiring the people with the degree. They hiring the people with the field
who got
experience.
The experience.
I learned how to survey. I learned how to do the plans. I learned how to do all the topographic stuff and water management and stormwater runoff and ponds and all of that. So I'm like, well, what am I in school for?
Facts.
Just to get the job that I got already.
But you had to take out a loan, though.
Well, I was smart. So I had, I think I owed like $32,000 when I quit.
Okay, you know Sally Mae don't play. She coming for that bread.
And this is what was messed up. Like, so this guy that had me in this financial aid, I thought you were supposed to start paying on school once you graduated school. I don't know what the paperwork my mom and this guy filled out. But they was sending the bills to my dorm.
Yo.
Like, yo, don't come to class tomorrow.
Yo.
Because we need this money. And I'm like, yo, what kind of program did y'all put me on? So I was like, you know what? So my dad, he got hurt at work.
Mm-hmm.
And he got like some crazy kind of settlement. He was like a welder. got some crazy.
You got a disability?
Yeah. He got some crazy kind of settlement, though. Mm. But he couldn't collect the settlement until he paid all the back child support he owed my mom.
Damn.
Sorry, so I paid my college off in cash, bro. And I never went back.
That's smart. Never went back.
My mom Sally was like, man, look, all this money you got, you're going to pay University of Delaware and you done with them. If, whether you go back or you're not, you done.
Yeah.
And we paid them off cash and I never went back to college.
Facts, facts. Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right about that. I think you got to have a plan. You got to know what you're going for, because in this day and age, you got kids making hundreds of thousands of dollars from YouTube. So it's like, if you just put in the work, you know, I tell these young kids all the time, you know, you just put in the work because they're lazy. They don't want to, they just Instagram, you know, it's just showing the results, but they're not showing the actual work and the process that it takes.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Like,
you got to understand the internet is a highlight reel. For real. Don't nobody put the bad stuff online. It's the highlight reel, right?
He said, yo.
All the good stuff.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Next to a Lamborghini. I know.
That shit ain't even theirs. Like, they done went to the
yo. So that's why I think, for me, it's important to show the failures, because it's like, yo.
Facts.
During a pandemic, like, that shit hurt me, because I left a job to build this marketing company.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pandemic hit. I lost everything. So it's just like, it wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
Like, my wife looking at me like, you quit your job for the, you better figure it out. Like,
figure it out, papi.
So it's just like, yo, I had to pivot, and I seen this real estate thing was booming. I'm like, yo, fuck that marketing shit right now. Let's focus on this real estate photography. Let's get some better cameras. Let's get a drone.
Yeah.
I took some pilot courses for the drone, and I'm like, yo, we out of here. That's it, man.
That's excellent, man. Yo. So let me ask you a question. Why should people not confuse the logo with brand identity?
So, like, I don't know. If you think about, like, let's take Amazon, for example, right? Everybody knows Amazon. If you look on your phone and you got an Amazon app, you'll notice that the Amazon app is now like a smiley face.
Yeah.
But it used to say Amazon, and it used to be dark blue with yellow borders, right? So I think people confuse the actual logo and call that the brand identity, right? Mm-hmm. So if you see Amazon on a truck, if you see it on a worker's shirt, if you see it on a piece of paper, that is a uniform look for Amazon. So that's the identity. Certain colors make people feel a certain way, right?
Okay.
So if you see a color, red is a really bold color.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of corporations always use blue. They use a light blue. They use a dark blue. Just look at anybody. Just any marketing that you do. It's a reason why McDonald's French fry box started off red. It's a really bold color. Greens make you feel a certain type way. Oranges and all of these colors. So that identity is more than just what the logo is, right? So it's like, what's your company's message and how does it tie into the colors that you used when you used it?
Okay.
So it's just like,
I don't think people think about that shit.
They don't.
I definitely didn't think of that.
It's a psychology behind colors and how they make people feel. So I think when you're looking at an overall brand identity, that's stuff people need to understand. Like, okay,
facts.
So what you thinking about, or what's your company's message that we can tie into the color scheme, or how that looks on printed material versus, you know, if you have somebody a logo, if you put it on something black, you might have to have an alternate version if it go on something white.
Yeah, facts.
And things like that. So I think that overall aspect of understanding brand identity versus just the logo is what we be trying to help people understand. It's a difference.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's deeper than just the logo.
Yeah. So. No, that's real important. Now that you're saying that, because I'm like, I didn't think of none of that.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just gray. Like, we're going to tie in I Talk Gray, and we just going to have something gray. And that's
right.
It.
So if you think about, if you wanted your logo white, how would it just show up if you put it on a white tee?
Yeah, you're right. It'll
right? Or if you had an all black logo, like she got black on her hat. If her logo was on a black hat, you got to have a white version of it.
Yeah,
so it's
like
all of those little things when it comes to brand identity, people look. But every company, any big company, they rebrand literally every 4 to 5 years.
So you think that's important?
To rebrand?
Yeah.
I change our company logo every year. For the brand castle, every year I change it.
So what is the brand castle?
So the brand castle, I wanted to be able to put like creatives, photographers, videographers, marketing people, social media influencers all under one roof, right? So like that's what we wanted to stress, like
yeah,
we're putting all these different creatives under one roof. So I was just like, if we try and put that many people under one umbrella, what's enough to hold that many people? So I'm like, I didn't want to do the brand house, but the castle was big enough for everybody, right? So I'm like, oh, that's it, the brand castle. So when we started looking at the name, there was a, we had a cease and desist come, and it was a company called Brand Castle that was, I don't know if it's like they bake cookies or it's like some kind of cookie kit or whatever. And they sent us this letter like, you're impersonating, our customers are going to your site and la 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 la. And I'm like, okay. So they like, we need you to change the name. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. We'll do it. We put the in the front. So y'all Brand Castle, we're the Brand Castle. And now, like, so we get a lot of their customers that they hate it. But that's how we got it, man. Just everything to do with branding, man. I'm okay. all for it. So I'm like,
facts. I definitely gotta hit you up, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, like,
let's chop it up,
man. You know what I'm saying? Yo, so explain to me why all money isn't good money.
Why all money isn't good money. I give you a perfect example. So I had a client. His family owned a tow truck company. They've been in business 50, 60 years. Word of mouth, never did no advertising. Just the people just know they family had a tow. His grandpa probably started it. The dad passed it to him. So he comes to me. He's like, hey, man, we need marketing services. I'm like, all right. So what's the problem? They're like, oh, you know, we just been in business so long, but it's just been word of mouth. We have no online presence, right? Okay. So I said, well, the first thing I would suggest is that, one, you get online, right? But more importantly, you get on mobile phones. And he's like, ah, you know, I just think that's just putting the cart before the horse. And then I said, listen, sir, when people break down and they need a tow truck, they ain't at home on the computer.
Yeah.
They broke down on the side of the road somewhere on their phone.
Yeah.
Looking for a tow truck.
Exactly.
He's like, you know, I didn't really look at it like that. And I'm like, oh, because you're not a marketer. That's what I'm trying to explain to you.
You don't do this.
Right. And I, like, every business is different. So I never cookie cutter nobody's business.
Okay.
Like, and I never do the same type of client more than once. Right. So if I have a window company, I won't work with no other window companies. If I have a plumbing company, I won't work with, like, I exclusively want to learn your industry and master that for you. And then if you fire me later, then cool, I'll take that and go to somebody else. But I never would use the same client twice. For my portfolio, I won't do it, because it's like, these big marketing companies, nobody understands marketing when you're a business owner. So these people just behind the scenes saying, we doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And because you don't understand it, you just think whatever you're paying is getting done.
Yeah.
So I started getting labeled the anti-marketer marketer. And I'm just like, no, it's just like, I've been in companies. So the last company that I worked for, I think the owner was spending maybe 15 to 20 grand a month on marketing.
Sheesh.
But because he was making money, he just assumed it was the marketing company that was keeping his business booming. So he paid it. So I'm like, oh my gosh, do you ask for reports?
Did you get the analytics?
Yeah. Do you see where the money is being allocated for what?
Yeah.
So he's like, no, I don't do none of that. He's like, yeah, reach out to him. You should do that. See where the money is going. This is how I started my marketing company, though. I'm like, man, he's paying that a month. You would only need one client to make good money. 15 grand a month?
Like, yeah, that's...
Like, oh my God, that's one client. So imagine cool. I get 10.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this marketing thing gotta work. Like, it's gotta work. So I looked at, like, out of that 15, what he was paying, literally they was probably using 3 out of the 15 just to run Google ads and was pocketing the rest.
Gee.
And I'm just like, this is crazy.
And so, he wasn't even aware of that.
Of course not, because he's like, oh, the phones is ringing, I'm making money.
Bread coming
must in. Be the marketing company.
Yeah.
It could have been all really organic traffic.
Yeah.
That the marketing company didn't even do nothing, or just from the ads.
Wow.
So I was just like, so with this guy, I knew that this client was going to be a problem. Like, if I see a client going to be a problem client at the beginning, I'm good off you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with, and I tell people, it's okay to turn down clients. You don't have to be rude about it.
Yeah.
You just say, you know, I think at this moment, I don't think it's a good fit.
Yeah.
Right?
You're not ready yet.
Yeah. And it's cool. Like,
yeah.
I could just take people's money, but it's just like, that's not my, like, all money's not good money for me. So it's just like, I want to be able to do a service and provide a service and you be happy with my service. Like, any of my clients, I don't tie nobody into year-long contracts. I ask for 3 months just to get the ball rolling, and then everybody that works with me is month to month.
Okay.
No marketing company in the world does this. They always tie you into a year contract. Yeah. 6 month minimum. And I'm like, yo, why?
I be trying to figure out, like, some of these marketing companies. I guess you could explain to me. They'll say, yeah, I market your shit, but they got like 30 likes. So I'm like, I be trying to figure out, okay, am I missing something? Is it really for the likes? Or
I think social media, I wouldn't say it messed up the marketing. I think it gave a different avenue to people who could specialize in some other stuff other than social media, right? So like, and this is where educating the customer helps, because they just don't know sometimes, right? So I got a client, he only pays for SEO,
okay,
which is just the search engine optimization on Google, right? So we do his Google My Business page, we do his keywords, we do his website updates,
okay,
we manage his Google reviews. That's all he pays for. He didn't pay for social media. So if you're not doing everything, I can only focus on what you're paying for.
Yeah. How vital is SEO, though?
SEO is, it's constantly, you got to constantly be doing it, right? Because it's like, everybody else is constantly doing it, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's algorithms is always changing. Everybody's updates on their softwares is always changing. So if you're not up to date with whatever it is, and you just think you're going to be cool with the SEO you did from last year,
ain't going to work.
You got to keep doing it every month. And then you got to be tracking what the competition doing. I always tell people, like, if you want to start a business, find some business that you like and see who the top person is doing that. So you need to be doing everything they doing and then tweaking it.
Yeah.
To do a little bit more.
Okay. I mean, I think these parts that you're mentioning, a lot of businesses don't know about that. Nah, you know what I'm saying?
They don't.
Because as I'm doing research, I'm seeing, like, yo, this is important. You know what I'm saying?
Like, for me, like, I got a sister. I think she just turned 20. My little sister is like my secret weapon to stuff.
Because she,
when it comes to marketing, because I need to understand how kids search online.
Yeah.
I use her and all her friends as my study group. Right? So I'll be like, yo, when you get a second, yo, see how that show up on your phone.
Yeah.
See how that, because these is the people that, like,
no, you're right.
And I don't think people understand that's who the consumer is. Like, this is why I retired from music so early, right? It's a young person's sport. So as I got older, my fan base got older.
You know?
The people that was used to go to my shows, now they got kids and they barely could get a sitter to come to a show when I'm in my 30s, right? So it's just like, I understood that.
Yeah.
For me, it was just like, I knew once I turned 30, I'm like, look, this is when I wanted to just finally put an album out. I had been shuffled between labels so many times that people seen my journey, but I never officially put an album out. So I'm like, yo, I'm going to get to a board, I'm going to put an album out in stores. And if I get to that point and I hit 30, I'm cool with what I've been able to accomplish in music. And
yeah.
I was cool with it. So I think that was 2015. I finally put a debut album out, called Better Than Good. You can still get that everywhere.
Make sure y'all go pick that up. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
We put it out independently, and I think maybe we did 17,000 copies.
Okay.
But
so that brand going to you.
I got the $10, though.
Okay.
For every album. So.
So would you tell an artist now to drop an album or a single?
I would say do a single. I would never tell nobody put an album out right now.
Because
nobody care about the album if they don't know who you are.
Yeah, okay.
So I wouldn't even waste the resources, the studio time. I say, yo, get yourself 3 records ready. Pick one, put everything you got behind one, and push it. Push it for a whole year.
Yeah.
And then
make sure it's edited.
Right. Push it for a whole year. Go so hard on it. Get a good video. do as many podcast interviews, go to as many radio stations, talk to as many DJs, and just work the hell out of that record. Mm-hmm. And as, if it pops, have another one ready.
Yeah.
And that's it.
For the follow-up.
Everybody fails on the second record sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's why I'm like, yo, why you want to put an album out? Who even knew you had a single? Why? Why you want to put an album out?
Why?
Like, it's people that have budgets and that have followings that can't sell albums. Yeah. Why do you want to put an album out right now? And you don't even, you know, you got 150 fans on Instagram.
Yeah, that's you ain't buzzing like that.
And 20 of them is family, your aunts and uncles, right? So, like, focus on that aspect. Like when I met Wale when I was 20, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And he told me, yo, you shouldn't be selling no music until you got a guaranteed 10,000 fans that no matter what you put out, they buy.
Mm.
He said 10,000 is a great core audience. If you got 10,000 people, no matter what you do, that will always spend a dollar, you'll be good.
Yeah.
And I focused on that. So I used to go around to college campuses and start just performing in the middle of the college day. While people going to class, I would find whatever the courtyard was at college
and just stand
and
there.
Just stand there and start performing.
That's crafty.
Every college on the East Coast. So I used to focus on college radio when I was doing music.
Okay.
So like my fan base was crazy because I always got booked for homecomings.
Okay.
Smart. I would kill it from like that September to November time period.
You get paid though.
Yeah. Like, so it was like when we first started doing, I think my first homecoming show, I made like $500.
Oh, shit.
It's like, whoo, like we going to be
getting it.
I think the last homecoming show I did, I got paid $15,000.
Shit, that's good bread.
Because once you understand how those committees work in the school, they get a budget. To bring artists,
to bring
So I'm like, I don't. If you'd have paid, I'd have did it for $2,000. But if you gonna got the budget and you gonna pay me $15,000, I perform for a whole hour. If 2 Chainz don't show up, I perform 2 Chainz songs.
Keep it
going, yeah. Like, so I think that was a market that like I got privy to very early.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I went to a university and I understood how that worked when we booked talent to come for homecoming, right? I knew what that budget was.
Okay.
I knew the school would give you $100,000 and you got a facility to perform. You need, and then you can sell vendors and tables and merch.
Yeah, facts. Yeah, yeah.
I know what that budget is. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be my core. So when I say, like, my audience really, my fans grew as I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
It was the college era, right? So
yeah, yeah,
they
all
got older as I got older. And I was just like, I understood that. And I'm like, yo. 30 is the number. Once I turn 30, I'm done. I'm going to just work behind the scenes, write, maybe manage or something. Something behind it. Still in music because I just got a passion for that music industry, but I wasn't going to be the artist no more.
Okay.
The biggest weight lifted off my shoulder when I retired, bro.
He said the biggest.
It's hard to be an artist.
Yo, what? Who you telling, man? I used to rap back in the day, too.
To do photography, shoot videos. Oh,
that shit ain't.
I'm still in debt from trying to be an artist. Like, still.
Yo, he said, I'm still in debt from trying to be an artist. Yo, so explain, why should goals be broken down into steps?
Because I think people people be discouraged when they have a big goal, right? So when the goal is really big and they don't get to it fast enough, I think they should be celebrating the little small wins that happen to get to that goal, right? So, like, for example, like, when I started that real estate photography company, the real estate license aspect was a small goal to a bigger plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I celebrate that. Like, let's celebrate. We got a real estate license. We passed that hard test on the first try after going to Gold Coast for a month after work trying to figure it out. Then I had to get the pilot's license. So I think if you break down all of these steps, and then you like, okay, this is one step closer to the bigger goal.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to tell people, you got to see that. Like, write that down. You need to see that. Like, and then look at it like a checklist. Oh, okay. I had these 10 things to get to this big goal. All right, now I'm going through the... It's going to make you feel like, okay, I'm getting closer to it. Like, I'm doing these little steps that could get me closer to what the overall goal is. And it's like a checklist. Nobody wants to see a checklist and ain't nothing done, because now you got to be accountable for, like,
facts.
Damn, I'm being lazy. I ain't did nothing on the checklist, right? Mm-hmm. So if you see that, and then celebrate them small wins, man.
Yeah.
I'll get myself a drink for every small win.
Pull it up.
For every small win we celebrating.
So why do you think having a mentor is so important?
Having a mentor is going to help you avoid the mistakes, mm-hmm. right? So, like,
especially people who hate failing.
Oh, my goodness. So, like, it's going to help you get where you need to get faster mm-hmm. if somebody shows you what not to do, because they fail for you.
Yeah. Right?
So, it's like, everybody's just like, oh, man.
But what dollar amount would you? Because I be, man, some mentors, you give me like, man, 10 grand.
I mentor people, like, for free all the time, right? Actually, I partnered with a company called Mentor Cam. Mm-hmm. So for people who couldn't ever afford my mentorship, what Mentor Cam was you can go on Mentor Cam. I think you pay $10 or something, and you can ask me a video question, and I have to reply and answer your question in a video.
Okay.
So it made it, like, affordable, and it gave people access to me that probably normally wouldn't have access to me. But I've mentored so many people for free that it's just like I just want to see people win. So I feel selfish if I have the knowledge and I'm not sharing, especially with my people that look like me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we already,
you know what I'm saying?
We behind. We behind, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So for the young black guy that look like me, I always tell him, like, we got to go that much harder, right? Mm-hmm. So when I'm in these meetings with these people worth $1 million, I got to disarm these white people when I meet them, right? One, I'm young. Two, I'm black, right? So I have to disarm them. They see me. I can't show none of these tattoos. I can't do none of this, right? I'm in there eloquent when I come in. Suit on.
You know? Like,
I got to disarm them.
Got your polo on.
Because they got to take me serious.
Yeah, yeah,
just,
yeah.
They got to eliminate, okay, all right, we see that he's young and he's black. Okay, but he is intelligent. He came right. He was on time. We got to do all that extra stuff that they don't have to do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sad, but it's the truth.
Yeah, we got right.
So we got to disarm white people mm-hmm. when we want to do business for them to even take us serious.
Facts, facts.
So it's just like, yo.
I mean, that is so true. You know what
I'm
saying?
It sucks.
It's yeah, because with us, I've learned, you know, especially been doing podcasting, you know, mm-hmm. it'd be hard to get the help. You know what
I believe
saying?
It.
Yeah, man. And people be taking advantage of your vulnerability. Like, mm. I'll be honest and say, like, yo, I don't know this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. All right, so just give me 500. And I'm like, nigga, what? But I'm not dumb, though. So it's like, you know, see what's going on. And let's, I don't mind paying, though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's so just
you
like.
You got your mindset a little different than most of us.
Because I'd rather it that way, because then if you do some shit, I could say some shit now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I paid you.
Of course.
So, like, what's up? You know what I mean? Because I had to learn. Sometimes doing things for free or getting people to do things for free, it don't always pan out. You might get it next month. Like, yo, bro, where that video at? I'm going to get it back to you.
Yeah.
And I don't like to hear that. You know what I'm saying?
It. Yeah, because people just like, if there's some incentive for them, it's the selfishness of.
Yeah,
and that's why it's so hard for. And I tell artists this all the time. It's going to building a team is going to be the hardest thing you ever had to do. Yeah. Why? Because you got to convince 5 to 6 other people why they should work for free.
Mm-hmm.
Why they got to believe in your vision just as much as you that they were willing to do it for free until the money come. Ain't nobody.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody signing up for that. Ain't nobody signing up for it.
Nobody see the vision.
That's what I tell people. I'm like, yo. At the end of the day, ain't no record label going to deal with you until you did all the hard work.
Yeah.
They going to come later after you went viral. And then they going to be like, hey, we got a little check. It ain't like
how it
was before. Yeah. Like, you used to have artist development and all mm-hmm. them days is long gone.
Like, yeah, yeah.
These labels ain't spending a penny.
A dime.
So it's just like, I tell people, yo, build you a team. Go find somebody that really like taking pictures. But maybe he trash right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? But as you get better and he keep shooting more, he gonna eventually gonna get better.
Facts.
But he gonna respect that you've been with him with the same grind the whole time. So I'm like, yo, build your team. Get you any artist listening, get you a good cameraman, videographer.
Get your pens out.
If he ain't a videographer, he just now about to go to school, or he doing like I did and he went to YTU, that's YouTube University, and work with him. find somebody that's in school that got just got passion. I take passion any day over
facts,
the talent.
Facts.
For real.
That's the biggest mistake that I made when I started my podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, not setting expectations, but thinking everybody was going to have the same passion that I have. Mm. You know, and it's like, nah. Like, my mother just want to sit down and, you know, press play. And like, yo, there's work still to do after. But I didn't set – it's my fault because I didn't set those expectations as – I got started. I just figured they would have seen it and like, yo, we got something good here, bro. Like, let's get to work. But as soon as we leave, it's like, nah, motherfuckers don't want to post.
That's it.
Motherfuckers got four pictures. Like, yo, if Country Wayne posting every day, how the hell you think you can post once in a blue moon? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to post so you can get seen on the gram.
That's who you, I tell everybody, yo, you got to compete at the level of the people that's ahead of you. You got to.
Facts. But I see you have a book. Bestseller. So, you know, I did my research. Oh, you know,
I feel bad. I didn't bring you a book. I owe you two books.
You know
now
what I'm saying?
Because we just dropped the book 2 days ago, all about SEO, and I've dropped it for free. So it's still for free if anybody needs it.
Yeah, go get that for the free.
Yeah, but I did a book. The book was called "Why Won't My Business Grow?" And I wrote this book actually from an employee standpoint. Right.
So okay.
Before I came to Florida, I worked for an engineering firm. I worked there for 13 years. Never made more than $50,000 a year.
It really? As an engineer?
Never made more than $50,000 a year. So I helped build this guy's company. I know this guy was probably making maybe $8 to $10 million a year at his engineering firm. But I knew I could never make more than $50,000. I packed my car up and I was like, you know what? I get booked for the most shows in Miami. I'm going to take my car and I'm out. I packed my car full of sneakers and a laptop, and I left. No clue what I was going to do when I came to Florida. I just stacked up some bread that I was like, look, I got maybe 2 or 3 months to pay my bills, and if I can't figure it out, I got to take my ass back to Delaware. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't an option for me, right? So I got here. I started working for a hurricane impact window company.
Mm-hmm.
Built that company up. Like, they was doing good before I got there, but I came in and kind of, I took pride in like seeing it grow. Like, so I was like coming in, implementing systems and trying to be a little bit more productive.
Okay.
Some stuff that they wasn't doing right. And I was there maybe 6 years. I just quit like 2 years ago, 2019, August 2019. I quit there. And I couldn't make no more than $60,000 a year there.
Shit.
And I'm like, I can't do this for the rest of my life. Like this, I'm capped. Like I get so high up in the company that I can't go no higher other than be the owner.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm like, man, $60,000. That's like, I'm doing the math here. I'm like, all right. So when I bring my checks home after taxes, my check is like $945 a week. Right.
A week. Okay. That's so not that bad.
It's not bad money.
Yeah.
Right?
How about a week?
So it's like, I'm like, but am I going to do this for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this is not good. Like, I was just, like, depressed about it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, I just did the math. I'm like, all right, so how much money do I make a day working at this company? I was making $190 a day at that company.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, so if I leave this company, I need to know I need to at least make $190 every day to make the same amount of money.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, all right, cool. So I started doing my marketing thing on the side, literally maybe only working weekends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or after work. I was making that money like just in 2 days worth of work. And I'm just like, yo, this is a no-brainer. I got to quit. I'm out.
Yeah, facts.
Because it's like, if I can dedicate more time, because that's what I didn't have, was time to grow it.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I could dedicate more time, maybe I could do 100,000. Forget the 60. Maybe I could do 150, 200. And I was just like, all right, cool. I'm quitting. And I just told the guy, I said, look, I want to start my marketing company. I've been doing this on the side. You know I've been doing it on the side. This is my 2-week notice. And he's like, man, like,
we need you, bro.
Well, what he said was, he was like, I knew this day was coming. I just didn't know when.
Mm. So he saw it in you.
Yeah, he knew. And he said, can I ask you a favor, though? And I'm like, what's up? He's like, can you give me 3 months?
Hold on. So he wanted you to stay for 3 more months?
3 more months to train.
Oh, so, but did he pay you more?
No. So for me, it was just like, I'm like, I came in here to give you a 2-week notice. You asked me for 3 months.
And with no incentives?
With no incentives. So I was like, I had some vacation time that was just built up.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? I could give you the 3 months, right? Because I was trying to get married in Ireland. I was trying to do some things.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, you know what? He going to pay for this. Like, I'm going to get all my vacation time out.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I could give you the 3 months. I gave him the 3 months. And then I was like, I'm out. So after 3 months, I think after I gave him the 3 months, I felt like in the back of his mind, he thought I was going to just end up staying.
After a while.
Right? Like, and so, like, I knew what the date was. It was August 9th. Mm-hmm. I just had this date in my mind. Like, August 9th is my last day.
I'm out.
So when August 9th came and everybody bringing cakes and stuff and the owner showed up, he's like, oh, what's going on? They're like, oh, it's Baron's last day. He's like, oh, it's already? I'm like, yeah. I gave you the 3 months, bro. I'm out. He's like, oh, man, like, you know.
Give me 3 more months.
You think you could stay another 4 weeks? And I'm like, nah, bro, I gave you 3 months. That's more than generous. You didn't pay me extra for it.
Facts.
Like, you holding me up right now.
Yeah, you holding me back.
So I was just like, he like, nah, okay, cool. And I left. And I was just like, yo, the very next day, I'm like, yo, I'm going all in. I went on LinkedIn.
Mm.
I got every business owner I could find's email address from LinkedIn. Because anybody got a LinkedIn page, for y'all that don't know, they take business serious if they
make
a LinkedIn
page,
right?
Yeah.
So it's business owners, it's real estate brokers, it's finance people. They on LinkedIn, trust me. This is a gem that I'm telling people. Go, you want to do big business, go LinkedIn. On LinkedIn and find somebody, right? And I literally just sent out emails, the same email cut and paste, but I did it one by one. I didn't blast. I
did it the manual way.
Manual way, bro. Like, yo, I'm a local marketer looking to help small businesses. And I just cut and paste and sent that thing to maybe 2,000 business owners in South Florida.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
beasting.
Not one person hit me back.
What?
Not one.
Out of 2,000?
Out of 2,000.
Damn.
Not one.
Why do you think nobody hit you, though?
Because it probably was another person doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, okay.
I think people got sick of checking their emails because it was like
spam
or just like so much. Like, I got 150 emails to go through. Like, they probably, I don't think they might have ignored me. They might have just never opened it.
Mm.
So I'm like, man, what am I going to do? I left my job. Like, I got to figure something out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to just go old school. It's a shopping center at every light. I just walk right in. Yo, who's handling your digital marketing? Oh, actually, we was really talking about getting it.
Okay.
Always, I'm telling y'all, always respect the secretaries of a business. That's the plug.
Yeah.
The old lady that answers the phone at a business,
mm-hmm.
when you walk in the business and she's the first lady at the desk,
yeah.
that's the person you need to build a relationship with. I promise you. My first 5 clients came from secretaries. Because you're never going to walk into a business and get to speak to the owner. Ever.
No, facts.
Ever.
There's levels to this.
They got to keep their face clean. Or if you can walk right into a business and get the owner, that business is small. And he is the secretary.
Yeah.
Right? So treat these secretaries with respect because they the plug, for real, for real. So I literally went in. You know what I mean? Flash a smile. Try to be... When they old and you got a nice smile, you could charm the old lady.
Yeah,
yo.
Yeah.
They like, oh, man, I'm definitely...
Little cool guy.
You have a brochure? Yeah. I got a brochure. They'll leave it. And then call them the next day.
Yeah.
Because now you got a face and a name, right? Hey, Shirley, it's Baron. I stepped in there the other day, dropped off a brochure. Did you have a chance to get that to the owner? Oh, okay. They set the whole meeting up.
And you were doing like sales.
Straight up, bro. People banging on me. Like, I didn't care because my back was against the wall.
Yeah, facts.
Like, I got how I'm going to eat next month if I don't get this thing running, right? So I can't. Like, I hate sales. I hate being on the phone trying to convince them I hate
cold call them up.
I can't stand it, bro. But I was in a position that was like, yo, it's going to work or it's not. I can't be scared to be on the phone. So once you start doing, once you get banged on so many times, you don't even care no more. You don't take it personal. You just like, oh, you're not interested? I'm on to the next one.
Next.
Like how, because I knew volume was how I was going to get sales. So I'm like, okay, I know if every time I call 150 people, I get three yeses out of 150,
mm-hmm.
I need to make 600 calls.
Yeah.
And I just hit the phones hard. Like, I would just negotiate the price. They like, oh, Baron, we can't pay no $3,000. Man, I'll do it for $1,000. They like, really? Yeah. What can you afford? $575? Let's do it. I didn't care what the budget, like, whatever they could afford, I took it.
Yeah.
If I knew for digital marketing, I would say for most businesses, it's usually between $3,000 and $5,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
I got businesses that I still work with now that pay me $1,000 a month. I don't care. I just want to help you win. If you winning, you're going to keep paying $1,000.
Yeah, facts.
But if I got 10 of you paying $1,000, that's 10 bands a month.
Yeah.
I don't need a $5,000 and a $6,000 client all the time. Like, I'm working in volume.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, yo, this is how we doing it.
Facts.
And then COVID hit. That's like the dun dun dun. And this is when I was like, damn, did I really mess up by putting these people on month to month after the 3 months? Because a lot of the other marketing companies, they still was getting their money.
Yeah,
because
they had them in the contract.
They had them in the contract. So, but I always wanted people to want to do business with me.
Yeah.
I don't want you to feel like you in like a marriage with me and you not happy in the marriage. Like, if you're not happy, feel free to leave. Like, you know, you only a month away from not having to deal with me.
facts.
And I'm like, but I don't have that. Like,
people
like, yo, Baron, you personable. Like, we seeing the results. Like, we love it.
Yeah.
But it's like,
that goes a long way, too.
Yeah, because I'm trying to let you know that I want to give value. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not here to take your money.
Yeah.
I want to help.
That's honorable.
But in this marketing space, I'm like few and far between.
Yeah.
It's like, I literally hired a marketing company to do my real estate photography company. Because they're big. The company's huge.
Okay.
I need to see how they work.
Okay.
For my company.
Yo, man, this was great, man. You dropped so much keys, bro. You know what I'm saying? Let everybody know where they can find you at.
Yo, follow me. Just go to my website, baronmcqueen.com. All my social is there. B-A-R-I-O-N. Last name McQueen, M-C-Q-U-E-E-N. com, and you can, that's my handle everywhere. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, it's all Baron McQueen.
Damn, consistent,
gotta be.
Yeah, facts, bro.
But that's why I tell people, I just made Instagram in 2018.
Bro, your shit doing good though. I was checking it out
because it was just like everybody that knew me as B to the Dot from the music business.
Oh,
that was so right. I had to rebrand completely because these people that I was trying to do business with, they didn't give a damn that I used to be a rapper. They don't care.
Facts, then you would be.
So I was like, yeah. So I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna start going by my real name, and I'm just like,
sometimes that's just better.
Completely rebranded, bro. So yeah,
okay, that's what's up, bro. Yo, people, it was a pleasure to have you. I'm definitely gonna be hollering at you.
I appreciate it, man.
You know what I'm saying,
good, man? I could do these all day.
Yeah,
I just want to get the information to the people. Man.
Yeah, no, we got to, man. You know what I'm saying. And it's necessary. But it's like what you said earlier, too. I don't think certain people are ready, you know what I'm saying, to go to certain levels. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people get complacent and just doing, okay, yeah, I'm gonna, like I tell my daughter all the time, like, yo, it's more than just posting on Instagram.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, you got to do more.
Yeah. And that's why I tell people, yo, lead with value. Give somebody something. Like, even if they don't spend no money. When we deal with marketing clients, we always give a business a free audit report. Like, look, this is what's wrong with your website, and this is how we can fix it. Now, whether you call us to fix it or you take it to another company, we wanted to give them something free up front to show the value.
Show the value.
Without even spending a dime with me. Like,
I'm about to get www.italkgrade.com.
Let's do it.
We about to,
let's do
we
it.
About to edit and do an audit on that shit.
We doing it today.
Facts. Yo, man, y'all know what it is, man. It's your boy, Mr. Williams. Make sure y'all click that button below. Subscribe. You know what I'm saying? Comment. This will be up on all platforms. It's Mr. Williams. We out of here. I Talk Gray. Yeah.